Yeah. Shall not kneel, and shall not bend, by his blood and in his name. going to re-sing this verse because I love the way it depicts our risen Savior. And I ask you just for a moment today, just for a moment, imagine yourself in that time when on the third day, Jesus rose again. And the Bible says, and the dead came out of their tombs and began to walk the earth. What a miracle. What a miracle to be in that moment. So sing this with me.
And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born,
that you're faithful and that you're dedicated right now to traipse through the snow like you did. Thank you. Thank you. If you're a visitor here for the first time at Only Believe, thank you for making this your church today. We're glad that you came to celebrate God's goodness and His love with us. Before we get started into the Word today, we've got a few announcements for you and then we're going to go into the offering. But I just want to remind you about something that's very important here at Only Believe. We believe in marriage. And we've got a Marriage Is Us event this Friday at 6 o'clock. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This isn't just a place where you come if your marriage needs fixed. It's a place where you come that your marriage needs maintenance. Let me tell you, if it's not broke, there's coming a day that your marriage will be tested. And the more of us that invest in our marriage now, the better it will be. We're looking for strong, unified marriages. If your marriage isn't getting better with age, then this is where you need to be. Because I promise you, God has a plan and a purpose. And the entire world, the family unit is being shaken. At Only Believe, we believe in that family unit. And we're doing our best to make it stronger and indestructible that you can live as Christ would have you live in this world. Number two, we've got something for all the gals on March 1st. We've got a gather meeting. And all of you ladies out there, this is specifically for you. You need a place to talk. You need a place to share. I'm going to be honest with you. You got to leave your kids with your husband and come on out. We're going to talk together. It's just about an hour, but we're going to gather together and remember what we as women have in common. And we're going to share some struggles. We're going to share some wins, but we're going to do it together. So come on out. That's March 1st at 9:30. We want to be with you. And then today we're going to take the offering. And the scripture that I'm reading today comes out of Proverbs, the 11th chapter, 24 and 25. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another person withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Oh, a generous person will prosper whoever, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I remind you that generosity is something that we at Only Believe practice. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're a tithe payer, and this is not your home church, your tithe isn't for us. This is a place for offering today. Brother Jesse's going to take another offering that has to do with his offering. But for the church, if this is your house, this is your church, then this is where your tithe belongs. And we ask that if you feel compelled to give today through your heart, then that you would give generously out of that place. Because we just read in the scripture that he who gives generously receives more. But when we don't have a heart of generosity, and we withhold unduly, then we're not in the will of God for our lives. And we won't be blessed in the meantime of what is happening. So I want to share this number with you. I wasn't sure if we were going to do it today, but I'm so excited. Brother Jesse got me fired up before. But in the beginning of the year, we set out that we were going to do a debt cancellation in our church. Church members, how many of you are excited about this? We set out with a number of $425,000. And to this day, with everything that's been pledged, Only Believe Church, there is $226,000 left to pay on your church. Woo-hoo! Is that not exciting? But that didn't come from a stingy heart. It came from a generous heart. God prophesied years ago over our church that everything we had need of was going to come from within. We believe that, whether it's from our Dream Team volunteers, whether it's the electric bill, or whether it's the debt-free cancellation that maybe one day we too will be able to pay off someone else's church building. Amen? Amen. That's what we're looking forward to. So raise up your tithe and your offering to God today. We're going to pray over it, and then we're going to get you guys to give, and then we're going to get right into the word with Brother Jesse. Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you for the opportunity to tithe. God, as Brother Jesse would say, that we get to give you a job. Father, we empty what we have and we give it to you, knowing that you will fill our barns with more, that we can be generous in all occasions, in every situation, and in every need that we see. Father, we thank you that your word will not return void to your church, and that, Father, by faith, we obey that which you have asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and your offerings, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to get Brother Jesse straight up here so he can share the word today. Amen. All right. So we were talking with Brother Jesse in the office this morning, and I thought this was an amazing act. You know, sometimes he said, you know, you would think as someone would age in their ministry that I would be aged out, like my crowds would get less and all that. But it's not. It's gotten more powerful. Amen. Is that not the way we're supposed to grow and do what we're doing? He shared this number with us. I thought this was amazing. Out of 365 days last year, he traveled and ministered 300 times. What? Yeah, come on, come on. And Brother Jesse, you're 75. How old are you? 75 and a half. and a half. We're going to take that, as his granddaughter would say. I want you to stand to your feet and give Brother Jesse a warm round of applause today. 38 years at Only Believe Church, and he's going to share the word with us today. Thank you, Brother Jesse. I love you.
Love you too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big God bless you. Come on. Woo. You can do better than that, I think. You may be seated if you can. Yeah, I mean, you know, Kathy said Jesse doesn't know his age. He just keeps going. We did 300 meetings in 101 cities and 6 different nations across the world. And God has been so good and gracious to us. One particular thing, we did a tour. We flew 60 hours in a plane. 60. That is a lot of flying. Just one of those tours. Flying all over the world. God's been so good and gracious to us. And we thank you now. We got to looking at this, and we came into Wapakoneta. I like coming in there because it makes you speak in tongue. Wapakoneta, you know what I'm saying? And I thought, man, we may have to go to Dayton. But if we go to Dayton, well, we're going to be late. You know, and I said, so we broke out. They call it breaking out. Well, we could see the land at about 1,200, 1,500 feet. But it was snowing. But the way that works is, if the sun will come out, it'll just cook the snow off the plane. There's no de-icing, so be praying with us that it hits and just falls off. And that's what's happening right now, you know, so we can get back to do what we need to do. Head out to California, then to California, then Hawaii, and then who knows? Maybe I'd rather the rapture come and y'all could have the jet. For you that don't go, praise God, you know, and God, so you made it okay, Joe, you got here, hallelujah, give Joe a hand clap, come up here, Joe, praise the Lord, hallelujah, well, did you fly into Dayton?
Yes, sir.
You drove on out of all that ice, you did good?
This morning, I did.
Good Lord, Jesus, do you need prayer to go back?
I'm praying real hard.
Okay, last year I preached, I did a theme called Give God a Job. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And this is the book that I never intended to write, because I was just going to do partner letters, 12 partner letters, and I started writing, and my God, I wrote, I just kept until my finger got blue, and I realized I was writing a book, and so they made it a book, and it's amazing to me how many people do not think that God can do anything. All you got to do is give him a job. Quit trying to do his job. That's why you've been delayed so much. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, just do his job. What's your job? Believe. Yes. Then let him take the rest. It'll bless you. Anybody want this book? Whoever comes up here first, get it.
There you go. Look at that.
Take it. All right. Hallelujah. I tell them to bring this book all the time because it's so important. We can actually number the human race with about 8 billion people, but you cannot... You cannot number, this lady want to get up front, I guess. You cannot number angels. Angels are innumerable, and they're servants to you. Think about that, servants. So this is called The Hidden Help. And we talk about the many different angels that God uses. And I want to make this announcement. Every one of you people have talked to an angel of God. You may not have known it, but you have. The Bible said we've entertained, which is more than talking, angels unaware. You see what I'm saying? So it will bless you and minister life to you. Okay, who wants this book? Whoever comes, get it. First one, get up here. Okay. Praise God. This book, I'll always offer it because it's got a picture of me. This is me. You know, I was raised a Catholic boy. Many of you know my testimony. So I knew nothing about church other than the Hail Mary prayer and Our Father prayer. That's all I knew. Anybody ever been Catholic at least once? You know what I'm talking about, say. And you went to confession, brother? Did you tell the truth? You did? You're the first man I've ever seen in my life told the truth. Praise God. I lied like a dog. So I was trying to get out of there with 3 Hail Mary and 3 Our Father. You Protestants have no idea what I'm talking about. And the title of this book is I Never Learned to Doubt. I know nothing of doubt. Now, most people would have canceled today. And we don't do dangerous things, you know. And if we can't go home, we'll spend the night. It made no difference to me, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to go home. That's not the issue. So I told my pilots, I said, can we land in the snow? And Wapakoneta was so nice, they called and said, we were grade the runways and they're putting chemical and all that kind of stuff. And when we got here, they said, could you circle around a little bit so we can put more chemical? And I said, oh, Jesus. Yeah. So we just, and finally we came in and took the whole runway, you know. And it was such a really sweet people out there. And see, doubt is mental anemia. It's actually a form of atheism. See, when you doubt God's word, you doubt that he exists. Some people don't believe in healing. I mean, they don't believe in God. They may not think so, but that's a truth. Because by his stripes, you were healed. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Who wants it? Well, come get it. Whoever gets it first. I'll let y'all fight it. Okay. This book I wrote probably 40 years ago. I love this book. It's sold out. It's the number one bestseller. In fact, all these books are number one bestsellers. Called God's Not Enough. He's too much. He got too much mercy, too much grace. You know he's going to save somebody you don't like. Then you're going to have to spend eternity with him. Isn't that sad? No, should be good. This will bless you. It's humorous. It will minister life to you. Okay, anybody else wants it?
Let me tell you something real quick.
Yes, sir.
2008. I was down at Hurricane Katrina, and I stopped by your church, and your wife was preaching.
Yes.
And I was slain in the spirit.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that a blessing of God? Hey, isn't that good? Now, the rest of y'all are going to have to buy it. It's in the back there. And God will bless you. Stand to your feet one more time. Stretch a little bit. If you got to rub something, rub it quick. Get it over with. Praise God. And you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Okay, you can be seated. I want to make sure that you can move here. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Kathy, my wife, is preaching this morning. As you turn to Philippians chapter 4, I want to read some very familiar scripture. And, you know, and I love the way Kathy preaches. And some people say women shouldn't preach. I mean, how ignorant can you be? You're just flat ignorant. You're not dumb. You're just ignorant. You're not dumb. I can put what God said, women should be silent in the church. Women have never been silent in their lives. Now, that's not a shot. Because if that's the case, that women should be silent in the church, then Nikki, take every woman off that platform. They can't sing no more.
Exactly.
Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Silent in the church. You got any women greeters?
Oh, yeah.
Take them out. Can't. You got any women teaching classes?
Absolutely.
Nursery? Take them out. See how ignorant that is? God made Deborah a judge of Israel. That's a lot higher than a pastor. Running a whole nation. They called her the mother of Israel. You know, and a lot of people don't seem to understand. I know when Paul, what he meant. Because some people sat on this side, men sat on this side. And if somebody would preach something, they didn't understand. Hey, honey, what does that mean? And, whoa. You know, that was you use order in the church. So, and I'm going to say this, and I might get into it in a little bit. I'm going to just give you a little hint. When you hear people say that, especially preachers, that's an irresponsible spirit talking. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm going to give you a little revelation today. It's an irresponsible spirit. They're born again. They love the Lord, all it, but irresponsible. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't study, is it possible you can wrongly divide the word of truth? I might talk a little bit about that. Are you at Philippians chapter 4 yet?
Yes, sir.
God gave me a new theme. How many of you get my partner letter? Anybody here gets my partner? And we've been writing you partner letters called Create Your World and Walk in It. Because see, when you create your world, you know what's coming and you know what's going. I've had many opportunities to fail. I didn't take any. Why? Why should I? I'm not attracted to failure. And failure is not attracted to me. Because you see, Satan can't walk in my world. He stumbles. And I don't mean this to sound rude. You ever seen President Biden walking on a beach? And
yeah. Sure.
He just fall down. Oh, yeah. See, when Satan tries to walk in my world, he stumbles and gets under my feet. He can't understand why. Because it's my world, not his. I want you to remember that. Let me start reading the book of Philippians chapter. Oh, I want to start. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, what does that mean? See, God tried to bless the Apostle Paul financially. And you know what he said? No. I make tents. I work my own hands. And that's good. That's a wonderful thing not to be lazy. But he was shutting people's harvest down, trying to be nice. You see, keep reading with me, and I'll get into that in just a minute. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned to whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now notice this, he's creating his world. This is the theme, and walk in. I know, verse 12, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Why? He's creating his world. Verse 13 is where I want to get to. I can do all things. How many things?
All things.
Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, right? Then how come you can't do all things? Well, I lost a few of you right there. You see, the church has limited you. When you serve an unlimited God and you're completely unlimited. Why? Because God said, I can do all things. This is through the Apostle Paul. I can do all things. Not some things, not a thing, all things. Why? Through Christ. You're never by yourself, which strengtheneth me. Or who strengtheneth me? All things. So people think I'm cocky when I said that. I didn't say that. I just repeated it. That's what he said. Do you see my point? That's what he said. And when you understand that, see, you're creating your world and walking in it. See, he said, I can be hungry, I can be full, it doesn't make a lick of difference to me. But watch this, when he said, no, he shut down opportunity. But then when he changed it in the next epistle, actually in this place, he said, I did you a disservice because I did not receive from you. But now that I have received from you, from Epaphroditus, all these things you wanted to do, I'm full, I have all, and I abound. Now, many of you are pledging to pay this building off. Am I correct? Yes. Now, why can't your house be paid off? Why, if you would sow a seed into a building, then why wouldn't your house be paid off? Because the seed reproduces after its kind. Yeah, but you got to get that yeah, but out of your life. That's the biggest but you'll ever see in your life right there. No. See, you're making a provision. See, you're creating something for Satan to walk in when you shouldn't. Create your world, because if he gets in your world, he stumbles. That's what Paul was saying. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. The ripple effect of a believer who walks by faith. This is a ripple effect now. The ripple effect of a believer who walks by faith, talks by faith, and demonstrates what faith can do is a witness to the power of Christ. Let me say it again. The ripple effect of a believer who walks by faith, talks by faith, demonstrates what faith can do, is a witness to the power of Christ. I had a lot of people say, you ought to cancel, man. It's snowing up there. And we don't do foolish things. Don't misunderstand me. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when you're in an airplane, you can't pull over at 40,000 feet. You better make sure you fix this thing. But we knew we could land. We knew that. We knew it. See, now, I could have said, well, and Brother Randy had his phone. He goes, I got my sermon ready just in case. You know, and all that kind of stuff. And it was, you know, I'm not worried about snow. Ladies and gentlemen, 3 weeks ago, we had 10 inches of snow in New Orleans. The last time that happened was 130 years ago, 1895. New Orleans doesn't have one snowplow. Shut the whole city down. You know what we did? We played. For a whole week. I'm not kidding you. We played for the whole week. You can't drive. You can't do nothing. It was wonderful. So I told all my staff, stay home. I'm going to pay all of y'all and just have a nice time till everything melts. And it was a blessing. Now, what, did you have any financial trouble? No. You know why? I walk by faith. I talk by faith and I demonstrate what faith can do like I did today. Now, my pilot told me, he said, it's supposed to quit snowing, and I don't think it's going to stick on the plane, because where we landed is no de-icing. So we're going to have to wait. But if it doesn't stick, it doesn't make no difference. You just take off. And you don't think you can slide off? You can stop a plane with reverse thrusters. Where you have a problem is when you don't have them on, then you do like a car. But you can shut that plane down on ice, because the friction is against the wind. You see, and then you got to be careful if you do it too much. So I've learned to demonstrate it, to walk in my world and create my world and walk in it every day of my life, spiritually, physically, and financially. You see, you can, I can, we can, because he can. Write that down. You can, I can, we can, because he can. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. See, so don't tell me what I can't do, because I can do all. That's arrogance and cockiness. No, that's the word of God. That's the Bible. Look at Philippians 4:13. It says it right there. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, you understand what God is saying there. Let me say it again. You can, I can, we can, because he can, aren't just positive words. They're spiritual realities. They come to pass. See, they're spiritual realities. I expect, and a woman that expects delivers.
That's true.
See, you're pregnant with the word of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you understand that you can, I can, we can, because he can, are not just positive words. We're not just talking positive here. They're spiritual realities that go into, that become physical things in every which way, shape, and form. And you understand that, you'll know what I mean, that I don't rehearse the can'ts of life. A lot of people say, well, yeah, I can't do it. I tried to do it, I couldn't. Don't rehearse the can'ts of life. Flip the script on yourself. How do you do that? Harden yourself against yourself. See, you have to learn to harden yourself against yourself. You flip the script. You don't rehearse the can'ts of life. See, why would you do that? You don't want them, so why are you rehearsing something? Why are you believing for something you don't want? So you flip the script and you harden yourself against yourself. I'll give you a prime example for that. I was a chief of sinners. Before I was born again, Lord Jesus, I was a rock entertainer, women by the hundreds. I'm not bragging about that. It's just the way it was. I mean, I worked on the same circuit as Led Zeppelin, ZZ Top, the Doobie Brothers. I mean, just right up there. Women lined up just waiting to get to you. They call them groupies. Don't freak out. Hang on. Now, do you have, and I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I'd get up in the morning, and I would eat eggs and bacon, drink a glass of scotch. That was gone by 2 o'clock. And then I would drink at night. And my own doctor said I would have cirrhosis of the liver by the time I was 24. I was 20 years old doing that. I didn't care. I used to drink slow gin in a thermos bottle at school, and they thought it was Kool-Aid. I was just crazy, full of sin. Now, when I got born again, watch this. I created my world and started walking. When I got born again, I had never seen sin before in my life. Never. If I wanted to do something, I did it. I was raised with La Cosa Nostra, with the mafia, on the streets of New Orleans. You do what you got to do. Somebody mess with you, alligator got to eat. I'm not kidding you. Just the way it was. And that was called normal. Weird, stupid, crazy, sin. Well, I said, when I got born again, and I went to that club that night, for the first time in my life, I saw sin. I had never seen darkness. How can I see darkness when I was dark? But all of a sudden, the light had come on. Turn on your heart light. And I did that rock show, and I went up to the hotel, and I told Kathy, I got to get out of here. Now, watch this. Most people, I know when they get born again, sometimes they mess up. If they was drinking before they got saved, they might drink or smoke some dope. I don't know. Maybe even mess up with women. I have no problem with any of that. Because God told me I let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin. It cut it out. Now, let me explain that. The Bible said we're dead to sin. What does that mean? And alive to Christ. What does that mean? You see, not only have I not done any of that since I've been born again, I don't even have temptation. No allurements. I could have a woman walking down this thing naked as the jaybird, and I'd just say, uh-huh. Why? See, when you're dead to something, it doesn't affect you. Amen. Paul said, I'm dead to sin. But he says, I have not yet attained or been made perfect. So there's some things you still got to work on. Sure. Now, I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, I can walk into a Jack Daniels black label factory, booze, nothing. I could go to a whole house, nothing. Not, I don't care if they got nothing on. I'm not even tempted. Why? Because I'm dead to that. That's when you understand that you're dead to sin. If it don't bother you, you're dead to it. Now, but the only thing that bothers me in my Christian life, because I have not yet attained or been made perfect, is my temper. And I'm not big enough to whip anybody, but a baseball bat will take care of a lot of people. And how many times I told God, Lord, I lost my temper. He said, it looked like to me you found it. I wish you would lose it. See, why? Because I'm not dead to it. But I'm getting better. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're dead to sin. And you look at the righteousness. See, that's what it means by being dead. I don't even have temptations on that. Now, most people would have temptation. And don't let this white hair fool you. I ain't as old as I look. But that's not the issue. Christ in me, not on me, not around me, not about me, in me. Amen. The hope of glory. How do you do that? I create my world and I walk in it. See, when faith is weak, it's unable to meet the demands that are made upon it. When faith is weak, it's unable to meet the demands that are made upon it. See, faith doesn't hesitate. It doesn't postpone. It doesn't allow wishy-washiness. See, why? So, and you know, I'm not the ugliest man. You've heard me say this before. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? I'm 75 and like my granddaughter and a half. And I laugh. I go, that's all you got, devil? That's a joke. Because when you're dead to something, you're not dead. People don't do nothing. It's over. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you understand that, faith doesn't postpone. It doesn't hesitate. It's not wishy-washy. Yeah, but suppose, no, I don't have the suppose it don't work syndrome. When you're dead to it, you're dead. See, I've created my world and I'm walking in it, spiritually, physically, and financially. I've been preaching 49 years. And I've never had a financial deficit. Takes a while, but you'll get here. Yeah. Why? Didn't believe for it. Don't complicate that. Don't complicate that. Just didn't believe for it. How'd you get saved? You believe for it. Can you prove you're saved? No. None of you can. You don't have a contract signed by God. When you die, you go to heaven. But nobody can tell you you're not. Ooh, wow. That's how strong your faith is on that. So I just didn't believe for it. And you know why I didn't believe for it? I studied Jesus' life. And he never had a financial deficit. Jesus. And yet Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, be you therefore imitators of God as dear children. Well, if he can do that, so can I. Who do you think you are? What he says. Not what you think. And I don't mean that to be rude, but what he says. You see, that's that ripple effect. See, so I keep my faith strong. So when the strains of life come and I make a demand on it, it just soars. That's creating your world and walking in it. So faith must never be caught unaware. Have you ever been caught unaware? Yeah. Train your mind so you're ready when the strains of life come. See, it's not enough that God believes in you. You got to believe in yourself. So I can get around all the sin in the world. I'm dead to it. That temper, I'm still working on that. You must somebody touch my granddaughter, touch my daughter. I ain't gonna lie, I'm not quite sanctified. You want to dance with me? You want some of this? Oh, and I ain't gonna lie. I'm not there. You can tell I'm not there yet. See, I'm not gonna lie to you. You know, like a lot of ministers do. I don't know why they do it, you know, because they want. I don't let people put halos on my head. See, I refuse to do that. Why? Because there's some things I still need to work out. But all that other stuff, booze, wine, women, song, drugs, the stuff that the rock world knows all about. Dead to it. I'm dead to criticism. You know how many people criticize me? I have been criticized by the best. Over them jets, do you know that Taylor Swift's plane was right next to my hangar at the Super Bowl? And we have the same kind of jet. Don't get mad at me. You ain't mad at Taylor Swift, are you? You don't care if the Swifties go see her. What you mad at me for? So I can get the Wapakoneta. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. See, that's creating your world and walking in it. One man told me, you ain't afraid to die. No, I go to heaven. I don't, you know how many times I've been close to death? Who cares? Now, I prefer to go in the rapture, not because I'm afraid to die. I just want to go for that ride because it's free. Woo, Lord Jesus. So when you understand that, I'm not caught unaware. You see, and when you understand what I'm talking about, you create your world, and that's what Paul was doing. He said, I can be hungry, I can be full. It don't make no difference to me. That wonderful scripture, greater is he was in me than he was in the world. See, it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. See, a lot of people, they know something, yeah, but what do you do with it? See, faith is action. Now, I want to deal with this. But there's irresponsible spirits. Write this down. You must have fixed thoughts on who God is. You must have fixed thoughts on who God is and who you are. See, the word must become a habit. It's your DNA. You have God's DNA in you. Christ in you. Not on you, not around you, not about, in you. If you see my daughter, she looks like me. She way pretty. I mean, you know, but she has my DNA. So if I go home by the way of the grave, or you see Jesse and her. If you see my granddaughter, you see me there too. You never. Because that's DNA. I have God's DNA. I'm preaching better, y'all shouting. Y'all listening, huh? Listen to me. You have that.
Amen.
Yeah, but what about, well, this is not your world. You in it, but you not of it. Well, what else when we get to heaven? Well, then the Our Father prayer is wrong. His will be done where?
On earth.
Where?
On earth.
Where?
On earth.
As it is where?
In heaven.
When are we going to believe that? When you realize that you have God's DNA.
Amen.
He said, Adam, I give you dominion. Dominion. Good God. Over what? Everything. Everything.
Yeah.
I can do all things. Great is he who's in me. I say to that mountain, be thou removed. Got to tell you where to go. Not doubt in my heart. Believe those things, what I say. Not what he says, what I say. He shall have whatsoever he saith. That's Jesus' words in red. But people will preach their experience and the things that they went through life instead of preaching this Bible. So you must have fixed thoughts on what God is and what you are. The word must become a habit. It's your DNA. Now, let me get on to this irresponsible. Beware of preachers who have irresponsible spirits. They don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. They have the supposed don't work syndrome. And you know what happens? They walk in shame. Because you see, what happened is they'll say something that didn't come to pass and they don't say that no more.
Yeah.
How many times I have been rawly criticized, Philip, for prosperity?
Yeah.
And I've had preachers get on there and say, my God, he took an offering. I've never taken an offering in my life. I receive one.
Yeah.
Take an offering, somebody just grab somebody and take it.
Yeah.
I've never taken it from anyone that didn't give it to the ministry. So I said, they'll say, yeah. And you hear them say it all the time. Boy, I tell you what. They preached that 30, 60, 100, and that person ain't got no money. You know they ain't going to get that money. They just injected doubt and unbelief into someone who was believing God for a return. This, quote, big preacher, that's an irresponsible spirit. He should at least be believing for the person that gave so they could receive. Do you see that? Why? Because they walk in shame. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You know, you got to rightly divide the word of truth. Because if you don't study it, you can wrongly divide. See, they're already injecting doubt and unbelief. But they're not going to get that. You know why? Because they didn't get it. So what they do, they walk in shame and deny the word of God. That's an irresponsible spirit. They saved. They know Jesus Christ is Lord, but they have an irresponsible spirit. This is good preaching. This is good teaching. See, you got to understand this here. Let me say it again. Beware preachers who have irresponsible spirits. They don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. They have the supposed don't work syndrome. They walk in shame. You know why some people leave a church and they leave church and they don't come back? All of a sudden they made a mistake. I shouldn't have left, only believe. But they don't come back because they're in shame. They don't realize that you accept everybody. How many times your kids messed up but you didn't throw them out the door? Well, maybe a couple of times, but you brought them back in, you know, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, they walk in shame. They look more at their circumstance and their experience instead of what God said. I didn't tell those men how to fly that plane today. They know how to fly that plane. I know how to buy that plane. They can't buy that plane. I can't fly that plane. Yeah. But if we get together, we come to Wapakoneta. If two of you agree. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Now, they wouldn't have taken me if it would have been wrong. We had to call Randy and Nick and just say, we can't do it. And they understand that. In fact, I did say that. I said, if there's any church that understands I can't make it there, it's only Believe. Why? The name. Come on, somebody shout over that.
Yeah.
Only Believe. It doesn't say barely believe.
No.
Sometimes you get Believe and sometimes you don't. No, it says only Believe. In fact, they're taking the ministries off of just only Believe.
Right.
You see, that name has been tested. See, so beware of people. Women can't pass it. That is so ignorant. But that's because they think they know the word of God. They've read it, but they haven't studied it. They got it here, not here. That reminds me of Pharisees, Sadducees, Zealots. You talk about know that Bible or knew the law. Jesus said, you don't even know me. Good Lord. See, that's an irresponsible spirit. They said, we'll kill you. He said, I'll be back in 3 days. And let me tell you something about Jesus. He's only been gone a weekend. To you, it's thousands of years. To him, it's 2 days.
Yeah.
1,000 years in 1 day with the Lord. That's why he said, surely I come quickly.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Create your world and walk in it. So I taught my daughter and my granddaughter and my son-in-law, create your world. What do you want? Don't tell me what you need. You can make that happen. God said he'll supply. How many need?
All.
How many need?
All.
Then why would you ask God for a need? Why? Waste the spiritual energy. When he said he'll supply, how many?
All.
Oh. You can say all if you want to.
All.
So, you've heard me say this here before. I don't tell God what I need. He supplies that.
Uh-huh.
I tell him what I want. Oh, now that's greed. No. That's growth. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not. Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Hey, you way back there. Is the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
He said, you shall not want. Why are you mad at me if I shall not want? Let me give you a prime example. Always somebody saying you can't do this. David, King David. Now he's something, him. He's a little weird. He's a musician. Most musicians are a little weird. You know, it's called the arts. His father, Jesse, didn't like him too much. Always kept him on the backside of a mountain taking care of sheep. Why? Because he sings songs to the sheep. Ain't no telling. He might be smoking a little dope back here. We don't know what's happening. Samuel comes. He said, God said, I will pick a king out of Jesse's house. Now, boy, Jesse's brothers look like kings. They all showed up, man. Looked like it. Samuel gets confused, and the prophet should not be confused. He said, Jesse, you got anybody else? You got any other sons? Yeah, he's redheaded boy. We keep him on the backside of the mountain. He sings the sheep, you know. He said, go get him. See, what was David doing on the backside of that mountain? I'm going to tell you what's happening. So here comes David. He's 17 years old, redheaded like your granddaughter. But the Bible says he has beautiful eyes. Women love eyes. Just look at me. Men don't care if you're blind. They're looking at other parts. Forget your eyeballs.
That's hilarious.
But women love eyes. Watch this. God sent him to take his flask of anointing oil and anointed king. He became king that day, but he had to go back to the mountainside. Watch this. Singing songs. Jesse, his father, calls him and says, your boys are in the battle. Here's some cheese and some bread. Now you go down there, give them something to eat here. So man, you know, a teenager, okay, he runs down there, and my God, as soon as he comes running in there with the cheese and the bread for them to eat, his older brother goes, you just come to say the battle, because he's a chicken. He's scared. They're all scared. The whole place, because Goliath's out there screaming and hollering. So he said, what'd I do? I ain't done nothing. He said, I just come to bring some cheese and bread. And he hears Goliath cursing the armies of Israel. Ho, ho, ho. He looks at that and he goes, this is how you answer criticism. Is there not a cause? See, the cause of God is far greater than the criticism of people.
Amen.
Is there not a cause? I'll fight that sucker. Ain't that sound like a teenager? You want to dance with me, baby? But see, he's a typical teenager. He said, what do I get if I kill him?
That's right.
Now, you don't tell a 17-year-old boy this, because his testosterone is off the charts. He said, you get a woman. I get a woman? He had his lean on. Okay, baby, I'll tell you what. Let me see this stuff here. Bring home that girl. Said, Daddy, they gave me a woman. It ain't my fault, man. You don't tell a teenager you're going to get a woman. Woo, Lord. That's as good as it gets for a 17-year-old boy. Here's the world. You can't go fight that guy. Here, use my armor. You can't wear someone else's anointing.
Amen.
You can't put their clothes on. He said, I hadn't even tested it. No, he said, tested it.
Yeah.
Now, Saul said, but son, this man is over 9 feet. His head's big as a microwave oven. This boy's bad, Goliath. Watch this. But what was David doing when he was on that mountain singing them songs? He tells Saul, you know, I killed a bear and I killed a lion.
Yeah.
That was the test run for Goliath.
Yeah.
He already had tested his faith. Don't test your faith in the battle.
That's true. Amen.
You're going to fall. He already tested. That was the test runs to meet Goliath. And he looks at Goliath and he says, you come to me with your spear and your sword and all your big stuff. I come in the name of God, Jehovah, you uncircumcised Philistine. And he picks up some rocks. Now, that doesn't make the devil mad. You going to throw rocks at me? He picked up 5.
Yeah.
Why? He don't need one because he killed Goliath's 4 brothers.
Exactly.
And Goliath said, I'm going to pick your flesh, boy. And give it to the birds. Yeah? Watch this. But there's an angel behind that rock. It hits Goliath right in the head, and Goliath gets a revelation. You dead. Boom, down he falls, and David ain't finished with that. He go over there and saw his head off with his own sword. Blood and brains just flowing all over the place. He said, this is how you get ahead in life. Right here. He said, this is how this happens. That's your trophy. What was he doing? Creating his world and walking in it. Are y'all enjoying this?
Yes.
See, he created his world and walked in it. He became king in the people's eyes. But he was king when Samuel anointed him. Who made him king? Goliath. You see, he wouldn't listen to those irresponsible people around him. Is there not a cause? The cause is far greater than the criticisms of people. So they can say what they want. It doesn't make a lick of difference. You have destiny and destination. See, why? DNA. The DNA of God has explosive vision in it, explosive faith, and explosive belief. See, the DNA that you have in you right now has explosive vision, explosive faith, and explosive belief. Genesis chapter 1. God said, let us make man. Angels said, what's a man? He ain't never seen a man before. In our image, in your image. Oh, and we're going to even take it further. In our likeness. We're the species. We're the weakest species God's ever created. Mankind. And yet, he gave us all his power. He didn't make us servants. He made us sons and daughters. He put us in the family. Angels are servants. That's when God says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And watch this. I give you dominion over the everything. Go read it. Genesis 1, 26, 28. Just, it's amazing. And I give you herb, bearing seed. I'm going to make you a giver. Mm-hmm. Now, you think about that for a minute. See, we need to hear the words of God instead of hear Satan's words that might be coming from a Christian's mouth. You don't want to prove that to you? I'm going to shock you with this. Everybody, most people have never seen this in their life. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. You're going to freak out when I read this to you. You're going to flat freak out. If this has been sitting here for thousands of years and ain't nobody got a lick of sense to see it. I didn't see it till not long ago myself. Boy, it just blessed me so much. Genesis chapter 2. Here God is creating Adam. And God says this, verse 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow. Well, let me read verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, you know God likes gardens, so verse 8, he plants a garden. And in verse 17, let me read verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, this is God talking to the man. And the Lord God commanded, verse 16, the man saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Pretty simple, huh? Now here's the revelation. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, who named Eve Eve? Wasn't God. He called her Adam. Adam called her Eve. He said he created male and female, created he them, not him, them, not him, and called them, not him, Adam. So she's not a weaker species. She's not less than you are. But see, when you hear God's word, when you hear Satan speaking words to you, you add words that God didn't say. Now let me read Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 again. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, chapter 3 comes. Here's the serpent talking. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now he contradicts God. Verse 6, watch this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Now watch this. Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now watch verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Look at me. He didn't say that. He didn't say touch it. Look at your Bible.
That's true. That's good.
He didn't say, anybody ever saw that before?
Good.
Yeah, but see, she's listening to Satan. Now she's putting words in God's mouth because she's listening to Satan. He didn't say, touch it.
That's right.
He said, ye eat, you die. But she added, and touch it. Look at it. Yep. Neither shall you touch it unless you. He didn't say that. Yep. How many times people have added stuff that God didn't say because we're listening to a spirit, an irresponsible spirit. good, Lord. And before you know it, you speak in your, here's even something better. When she ate of it, sin didn't fall. Why? Why? Sin didn't fall to Adam. So man assumed that Adam, the male, is over that woman, or a stronger species. No. The reason why sin didn't fall with Eve is because God was waiting for Adam to do his job. You take care of that woman. She's a helpmeet. You take care of her. But the sucker just ate the fruit. He wasn't across town naming bugs and picking grapefruit. He's right there.
Yeah.
He did not protect his wife.
That's true.
Then sin fell. Oh, y'all thinking now. Y'all learning some things this morning. See, he had created his world and was walking in it. Then he decided to create a different one because he listened to words. Eve listened to words that God didn't say. The devil was lying the minute he started talking to her.
Amen.
By the time she started talking, she's adding stuff to it. Adam is with her right there, ain't saying a word. Beware of irresponsible spirits. Yet God's DNA was in them. See, the world's words don't have the power of God's words. It's not what they say, it's what you say. So it didn't make any difference what they say. Boy, and I mean, people say, let me tell you something. It doesn't make a lick of difference. Everyone said Trump couldn't win. Impossible. They tried to kill him. They tried to do everything. You name it. I mean, I'm a good, good guy. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, I mean, this guy cannot ever win the presidency. But he sure did. Because you see, those other people thought you were stupid. When all you're interested in is, I want to make a decent living. And when my daughter goes to the bathroom, I don't want a man in there. Don't shout me down.
Amen.
Do you hate transgender? No, I don't hate nobody. I hate the devil.
That's right.
Well, but when you stand up for something, why are all the Democrats going slap crazy? Because if you go look at the states that they represent, they wasted money like crazy. They're all mad at Elon. Now, before he joined that thing, they love Elon.
Oh, yeah.
And watch this. He'll knock out $2 trillion. Or some people losing jobs? Uh-huh. They wouldn't go to work. So why are you mad? They're all at the house, and they're using your money to pay them. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. This is not a political thing for Trump. I'm just telling you, it wasn't supposed to happen. We'll put him in jail. That didn't work. But I love what he said the other day. We need to get God back into our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil going, oh, no. That's why you're having so much junk going on. Oh, they can't get over that. Well, that means you hate homosexuals. No, you said that. I didn't say that. See, you still, you like Eve. You're putting words in there that I ain't saying. What's the difference between a heterosexual sin and homosexual sin? Nothing. It's sin. But my personal opinion, I think it's harder to commit homosexual sin. That don't compute. I had to get my prostate checked one time, and I turned around to that doctor and said, I could never be a homosexual. I don't know how anybody get any pleasure out of this. He just busted out laughing. Don't get mad at me. Your butt is not for entrance, it's for exit. Okay, I'm going to get away from that, Lord. That's a little too much here. I better fly. I got to fly out of here today. Good God Almighty. You know what I'm saying? And he just busted out laughing.
Oh, my Lord.
And he was trying to be so nice to me. He said, my God, man, you have a prostate like a 30-year-old man. I said, I do. He said, yeah. I said, okay. That ain't a compliment to me. And he says, how's your flow? I said, what'd you say? He said, how's your flow? I said, oh, I flow in the Holy Ghost all the time. I do. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. How's your flow? I said, what? I had no idea what he was talking about. He said, do you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Oh, yes. If I drink a lot of water, yeah. Well, how's your flow? Oh, my flow. I said, well, no, now that you said it, Doc, it's not as strong at night as it is in the daytime. He said, that's normal. I said, it is? Yeah. He said, when your body falls asleep, and it slows down everything. But then during the day, you got it all pumping and everything. You know, he said, would you like me to fix that at night? I can give you something called Flomax. You know what I said? I said, Doc, why are you trying to give me something that I don't need? You said, this is normal. Is that right? He said, oh, yeah. I said, why are you trying to give me something I don't need? Then I said this, Nikki. I said, Doc, let me learn my age. He said, what? I said, I've never been 75 before. So I can tell you what a 60-year-old man feels like. I can tell you what a 65, 60, I can tell you what a 71, 72, 73, 74-year-old man feels like. Now I'm 75. I said, let me learn my age. He said, my God, I like that. Yeah. I'm going to use that. You got to learn your age. That's spiritual too. I never was 75 before, so I have to learn what it means to be 75. Just that simple. Now you can swap the numbers 57, but that don't work. You have to know what 75 is. You have to know what 25 is. When I was 25 and you told me you were 60, I thought, can he walk? Anybody remember that? When you're young, God, can he walk? And that beautiful woman, now her arms kind of flop in the breeze like that. So what? She got to learn her age too.
That's right.
We all got to learn our age. He said, man, I like that. I'm going to use that, Reverend. I said, go ahead. So now every year that I preach this glorious gospel, I have to learn that age. Think if we had a man here today or a woman that was 120 years old. Bible said that Genesis 6:3, the lifespan of a person is 120 years. Not 70 and by reason of strength, 80. That's when they were in rebellion in the desert. Can you imagine the power of the anointing on a 120-year-old man or woman? Good God. Well, I can prove it to you. Moses didn't wear glasses.
That's right.
Climbing mountain, man, at 120. In the presence of an almighty God. So when you understand that, you create your world and you walk in. Am I going too long here? You create your world, you walk in it, see? And that's what I do every day of my life. And there's so much more to this. And if you're a partner, you'll be getting partner letters and all of it. And it will bless you. But like something like this, power changes things. Choose to highlight the DNA. To create your world and walk in it is done from the inside out. Recognize the strength within. If you let the world get in your heart, you'll live with their ups and downs. But if you say, you can, I can, we can, because he can, divine strength will rise up because God can. Good Lord, this is such good stuff. Yeah. A faith inner world is a great defense against a troublesome outer world. Never let the cross of Jesus lose its dynamic activity in your life. We are children, not his puppets. We're not even God's adults.
That's right.
We grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Yeah.
But children are born believers until you teach them to doubt.
Right.
You got to understand something about me. I have a special anointing. And it was proved today in front of Randy and Nikki and Phyllis. They got a grandbaby. I never seen the child before. They brought her in some kind of contraption that you couldn't see her. She was zipped up inside, Lord Jesus. Well, I think Nikki kept kind of trying to get her awake or something so I can kind of see the baby. So they unzipped and there's the baby. And am I telling the truth? I walked up to the baby and she had her head down again. And she's 7 weeks old?
Six,
seven. Watch this. She goes, And she's just, am I telling her, looking at me like that. See, babies think I'm God. It's the white hair. I really believe that. They see that white hair and go, ho! Oh! And she was smiling. Oh, yeah. She didn't even look at Nikki. What she saw was my anointing. See, because that's innocence at its best.
On,
that's purity, boy.
Yeah.
Listen to babies. They're correct. They're so pure, they sense wrong things. You'll see them, whoa, wait, what is this? What is this child picking up? Remember when you was a baby Christian? You look, maybe if you were here with Peter was before he went to heaven. Or Philip. Or you looked at Randy. You look at Nikki. Who's him? Oh, but your children saw something in him. What did your children see in Pastor Randy that you didn't? Randy, I'm giving you a good compliment now, son. Why did they just get excited? Ooh. See, everybody has something wonderful to share and to know. Yeah. Creating your world and walking. How many times he told me, he said, this is how I do this, and I do this, and all kinds of stuff going on. That's a blessing. And of course, now, you know, I think the pastors of the church going at it strong. My God. Aquila and Priscilla. Randy and Nikki. Who's the boss? You already know that. Nikki. How do I know that? Who was the boss in the garden? Eve. Adam did everything she said to do. Okay. Even children know that today. Hey, Dad, can I go sleep over at the... Ask your mom.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. You create your world and walk in it. So now what do you want? Spiritual, physical, financial, all three of it. Doesn't make a lick of difference to God. Now create your world and then walk. And when people say, well, I don't think you ought to be doing that, because they can't walk in your world.
Right.
And if Satan tries to get there, he's going to stumble. Mm-hmm. I told a lady that the other day. She's 97. I said, how long you want to live? She said, I don't know. Find out. You can live as long as you want. Death and life's in the power of your tongue, not cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling, arthritis. We try. Don't go by someone else's experience. This is for you. I'll say one more thing. God, it's hard to quit here. Did you know Satan knew Jesus was the Messiah? He said no one could do miracles like that. But what he didn't know that he was the Son of God. Now that'll make you think. He knew he was the Messiah. But he didn't know it was the Son of God, because Satan couldn't figure out how could God get back in this planet. Because God the Father, when Jesus hanging on the cross, your sin is on him, my sin, God turns his back. Can't look upon sin. Holy Spirit, so pure, same way. Jesus, part of the Trinity, not only had sin put on, he became sin. See, Satan couldn't figure out how God could get into this planet, get into this earth, because God can't touch sin or even look at it. But he never thought God would sin himself. He was made flesh and dwelt among men. And you want to know how he found out? When Jesus rose from the dead, you know what Satan said? If we'd have known, God, we'd have never crucified him. Because, see, Satan is not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. He couldn't figure out how God could get back in the world to forgive your sin. So Jesus is the only one of the Godhead Trinity that touched sin. He was not a sinner. He was made sin. You, not a righteous person, but you were made righteous. That's hard to understand in the natural. You can't. It's a spiritual concept. You see, yeah, couldn't figure it out. So when I told people that I wouldn't have a financial deficit, they listened to Satan, wouldn't I, Jesse? This is when I was a young preacher. And I just smiled at them. See, I was in Genesis chapter 2. They were in Genesis chapter 3. I don't mean that pridefully. I say, wait a minute. Not that I'm better than anybody. But even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So create your world and walk in it. And guess what? You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. Everything you touch will prosper. You'll have to just flat want to die. And a lot of people die because they just give up. And the problem with a lot of people, they fight faith instead of fighting the good fight of faith. And they say thoughts they should never say. When the Bible says, take no thought saying. Because once you say a thought, it becomes yours. If you don't say the thought, it aborts itself. It dies unborn. And it leaves your mind. But you go to Matthew 6, and read the take no thought saying. That's what happens when you say it. If I'm mad at Kathy, I don't say it. Because something's going to come and she goes, what'd you say? But if I don't say it, it dies unborn. It's of no value. It aborts itself. You enjoyed it today? Yeah. Give Jesus a hand clap for that. Praise the Lord. Whew, I went long. Just a minute, we're going to receive an offering for this ministry. It's a good ministry. It's been debt-free since 1982. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to this. Before you write anything, I want you to hear this story. I was in Las Vegas last year preaching for David Sheeran and Vicky Sheeran. Don't do nothing yet with your offering. Just I want you to listen to this. I got born again on Labor Day weekend, 1974. And it was Labor Day, 2024. And I was at the Venetian Hotel. They were coming to pick me up so I could preach. And I thought, you know, I want to thank God for saving me. 50 years, ain't that something? Now, watch what I'm about ready to say. Because I had never thought of this in my life like that. So I said, Lord, he said, what? I said, I want to thank you for saving, and he interrupted me. He said, Jesse, I want to thank you for receiving me because you didn't have to. I said, what did you, what? He said, you didn't have to get saved. You know, you can go to hell if you want to. I don't know why you would, but you can. He will not break your free will ever. He said, I want to thank you for receiving me. Because you didn't have to. That blew my mind. I never thought of that like that in my life. And Kathy was coming out. I said, Kathy, listen to this. I was about ready to say, God, I want to thank you for saving me. 50 years I've been saved. And he interrupted me and said, I want to thank you for receiving me because I didn't have to. And Kathy said, that's a phenomenal statement. How many times God told you to get saved and you wouldn't? But the day came that you did. How many times God told you to give an offering and you would not? Now, he didn't make you give it. Your free will is something. Now, sometimes I wish he would break people's free will, but he ain't going to do that. Because you never know how much somebody loves you until you give them the ability to walk away from you. Then you know how much somebody loves you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That was such a blessing. I've been preaching 49 years, been saved 51. It's been such a blessing of the Lord. We're going on 51, you know. But no, 51, yeah. I preached my first message on the first week of January 1976, and I got born again on Labor Day weekend 1974. Yeah. And I still can't get over that statement. I want to thank you for receiving me. Because you didn't have to. My God. He was so proud that I received him. I never thought of it like that. Where do you get all these statements, conversations with God? Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesse. I need to know something. Let's talk. I like that. In just a minute, we're going to receive an offering for this ministry. 100% of it's going into world evangelism. I'm totally debt-free. Been debt-free for so many years. God, I done forgot. I just found out my credit rating. Zero. I have not bought anything on credit since 1982. I have no credit. I don't need them. They need me. What a blessing of God that is. And they go, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. It's scripture. Owe no man anything but to love him. That's in here. But you might think the debt is bigger than the God that'll get you out of debt. If you think that, don't say it. So I ask you to do your best. Is my offering envelope, y'all have them in your hands, boy? No, we don't do that. We do it here. We do it separate. If you're writing a check out, make it out to Only Believe. 100%, and they're going to give us one check. And 100% is going toward world evangelism. Listen to me. The anointing of increase is on me. I've had a preacher come up to me, says, since I started giving to you, I've had millions give to me. I said, I know. It's on me. I have to watch what I say because I get it. I wish things were free, but they're not. It costs millions a month to run my ministry. I wish it was a million. That would be so nice. But you know what? People got to make a living, so whatever it takes. It didn't make any difference. So write your check out to Only Believe. If you that are watching online, that's probably on the screen somewhere up there. You can do that. And in all these years, what you gave me has went into God's gospel. Even the IRS likes me. Well, I have one thing I believe that Trump's believing for. External revenue service. You will hear me holler from New Orleans, Louisiana if that happens. I will get a 50% raise. I pay 50% of my income goes to the government. Most people never say this. I'm not broke. You have no idea. 37.2% go to federal government and 10% goes to the state where I live in. That's okay. You know, state's got to make a living, I guess, whatever. So when you understand what God will do. And don't get mad at me if you get to heaven, there's thousands of people in your front yard. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this, Eric. From January 2020 to the end of December 31st, 2024, we've had 91,487,212 people contact my ministry. We're working 24/7 right now to just service that. That's just social media. So, why should I retire? Do you think you ever retire? I don't think so. I could have retired a long time ago. But what would I do? Play golf? I'd go to hell if I played golf. Because I've seen preachers play golf. They don't speak in tongues, they cuss. They cuss out there on them. They do it. I'm not going to tell you. I said, boys, you better quit this game. It's a good game, but it's a very rebellious ball. It don't go where you want it to go because you're not swinging right or you're not tilting it. Uncomfortable. It is. Me, I like baseball. Give me a baseball. I've used it on people and on a baseball. I know how to work them things. I'm going to ask you to do your best. And whatever that is fine. I've never made any demands in all these years. 38 years I've been preaching here. I don't know what they gave me last year. I don't know what they gave me 10 years ago. I don't look at, you know, because see, I never, ever try to beat a figure. That's not my business. My business to believe, he said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. Are you ready to give? Do y'all do that with them buckets or do they pass it out here? I don't know. Do you do that with them buckets? And then I want to pray for you in just a minute. So if you want to give it up, go ahead. Come. Y'all got the prettiest buckets I've ever seen in my life. Oh, it makes them Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets ugly, don't it? Oh, gee. So if you'd like to give our ministry, stand to your feet and you can come and give if you want to. Look at me. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Come now. Just do it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Make it out to Only Believe Ministry. I Only Believe. And they'll issue us one check. God will honor it and bless it. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. What a blessing of the Lord. All you that stayed home from the snow, if you watch today, you can give that way also. I just thank you for allowing me to be a part. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. There you go. Come on. Hallelujah. And as soon as you finish giving, if you can come back to your pew and stand up, if you don't mind. In fact, I'd like everybody to stand up if you don't mind. Hallelujah, Jesus. First, I want to thank you. Some of you came here. You drove pretty long ways. Snow and ice to come. But I have to ask you the question. How you doing, sir? Oh, thank you, sir. there you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. See how that person gave me $100? I had somebody give me $1 million like that one time. It's $1 million in here. Jesus. I give it the work of the Lord, man. What do I want to do with that? The number one question in life should always be this. Do you know the Lord? Here. Yeah. Not here. You can be religiously brainwashed, but not New Testament taught. To have Christ in you. How many people will go to church all over America, all over the world today? They're religious, but they're not born again. Why? What does the church do that makes it so hard for somebody to get saved? Well, number one, they don't preach conviction, they preach condemnation. Conviction doesn't make you feel bad at all. Conviction opens your eyes to the truth. Condemnation makes you feel bad. You low down dirty dog, piece of trash, you never mind. Uh-uh. People say, but Jesse, you don't judge people. Why should I? That's not my job. I just let my light shine. I hate no one. I God is my witness. God said, Jody told me this the other day, you have no idea how many people love you. I said, well, Jody, I'm lovable. I create my world. And people have been real, said some ugly things to me. One man, my God, got so mad at me about a year ago. How much money would it take to shut your mouth? I said, $6,364,000,000 and change. I said, you got a check? No. I said, then shut the hell up. Point blank blunt. You want to dance with me? Oh, that's not cussing in Louisiana. That's a location. We use that word when you're 7 weeks old. Where the hell is the bottom, mama? That's not cussing in Louisiana. It may be in Ohio. I don't know. I know I shocked you, but I'm an honest man. I ain't seen him since. It's all right. I don't hate him. Pray for him. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand the value of a soul. And yet, I don't try to get people saved. I don't go beat the drum. I just let my light shine. So with every head bowed, if you'd like to know God instead of knowing about God, that's called getting saved for the first time. Would you give me the honor of saying, Lord, here's a person, they know about you, but they don't know you. And we would love for them to know you. I used to stop there. That's how I was trained as a doctor of divinity. I've got several degrees and all that kind of craziness. That don't mean nothing. Maybe you're here today and you are struggling with your Christianity. Struggling. Because you're not dead to things. And you need to rededicate. They call it, you know, in the Protestant world. would you give me the honor of going to the throne and say, Lord, here's a person, they're struggling. They don't want to struggle no more, Lord. They just want to live this life. Would you give me that honor? So let me say it again. If you'd like to get born again for the first time, or you're not where you should be with God, and you need to draw closer to Him, everyone look at me now. If you're one of those two people, get out of your seat and come up here. In front of everybody? Yeah. What's wrong with that? You drank booze in front of everybody. You sinned in front of everybody. Why do you have struggled to get saved or to draw closer to God in front of people? So if you want to draw closer to God, get out of your seat and come. It's two things He's saying. Come on, people. Pray with your head up and your eyes open. Hallelujah. Now, I know a lot of people that drive through the snow, they got to be saved for sure. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. And you know, you're worth more than this whole planet. You. The whole planet. Is anybody else? Quickly, quickly. Get out of your seat. First time salvation or rededication, drawing closer. So you don't struggle. I don't struggle with my life. Have you ever saw me sick? Sad? Discouraged? Broke? Busted? I'm no better than you are. Why is that, Majestic? Because you got more faith than... No. I just create my world so I know what's coming, brother, and I know what's going. Is there anybody else? Quickly. Come, sweetheart. Stand right there. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. I tell you, the people that came today, you got to be saved to drive this stuff. That's the first time I ever heard Randy go, ooh, ooh, when he was driving. We're hitting slush and stuff. Ooh. And he lives in this stuff. And I went, ooh, myself. All right. That's good. Man, this is good. Let me have your hand, sweetheart. The other hand. Let me have your hand, sir. I want everybody to stretch forth your hand to these people. Now, Bible said two of us agree. Now, you one of them, too. You one of them, too, brother. I never lied to you. I never would. I wouldn't lie to you. If this wasn't real, I wouldn't be here. God is my witness, I wouldn't. So, but both of you just pray this prayer, whether it's a first-time salvation or a selling out. Lord Jesus, everybody say it with us. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for drawing me closer to who you are. I will no longer struggle with things in life. From this day forward, I am yours and you are mine. I decree it. I create my world and I walk in it. Satan, I get great pleasure in telling you to get under my feet. I speak it today. I call it done, Lord. In Jesus' name. People, lift your hands up and you two look at me. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Come on, somebody shout, somebody. And there's a little lady behind me going to talk to you for a second. Isn't that good? I'm glad. That's good. Now watch this. Let me tell her this. I might live next door to you. Wouldn't that be something? In heaven?
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, you're not going to believe it? I'd be a good neighbor. I may live next door to you.
Yes, sir.
I'll come over your house every day. Think about that for a minute. Yeah. Somebody got to live next door to me.
Might as well be you.
See? Give these people a hand clap. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Woo! Glory to God. Come on. Give the Lord a great God bless you. What is that?
Mary, she's a partner and she's legally fine. She came first.
Okay. All right. Where she's at? Mary? Mary, you stay right there. I'm going to come to you. People, stretch forth your hand to Mary. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody stretch forth your hand to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
How you doing? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Whose I am and who I serve.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, if I can see good, I don't see why Mary can't.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'm no better than she is.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I put you in remembrance of your word and by your stripes.
Yes, Lord.
Mary's healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
I speak healing from the top of her head.
Thank you, Jesus.
To the soles of her feet.
Thank
and I ask you to let doctors confirm this prayer today.
In your name.
I decree it. I declare it. I call it done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' mighty name
thank
we pray. Mary, the Lord told me to tell you that. He said, tell Mary to ask me for more. Spiritual, physical, and financial. Because when I see her, she puts me in a giving mood. And I just want to be a blessing to you. Not some of the time, all the time.
Thank you, Jesus.
Receive your miracle right
thank
there.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
yeah,
Lord.
Just lift
thank
your hand.
You,
come on, people, keep praying.
Thank
isn't that
Lord.
Good?
You,
can I pray for you? Come stand right here. Give me a couple of ushers to help me. Tell me what you want. I've watched over you since you were a child. A lot of people didn't know I did, but I did. I want to give you what you want. I want smiles on the inside as well as the outside. You can smile on the outside, but it ain't easy to smile on the inside. A lot of things need to be forgotten. Ooh, Jesus! Lord, I ask you to touch this lady. I ask you to bless her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And let her have what she wants, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, or any, everything. He should tell her to forget the past because the past never sees the future. What they did has nothing to do with you. It's what I do. And I want you to know that. You keep a lot of things to yourself, and that's pressure in there. See my right hand's on your shoulder here. It's pulling that pressure out. Things are going to get better. I don't lie. Neither is God. That's the Lord speaking to you, not me. He's just using my mouth. Bless her, Jesus. Honor her today. People, lift your hands up and thank God for that. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Come on, give the Lord a great God bless you for that. Woo, glory to God. Anybody need a healing, lift your hand up real quick. He's in a healing mood. Father, thank you for healing people. I don't care if it's spiritual, physical, financial. Holy Ghost is now praying for you. That's God speaking. The Lord saying this, I'll do whatever you ask. Just ask of me. Just ask of me. Don't think small of yourself. Thank you. He said, say it. I don't create small people. I put my DNA in you. Use my DNA, saith the Lord, and you'll walk like I walk. Oh, people keep thanking God. Lord, give her a portion of my joy. I got so much joy it aggravates people. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, there's some things you've been trying to do in your own strength, and that's what's wearing you down. That's what's beating on you. Now let me have this today and see how quick I get rid of this and how free you'll be and how easy life will be. Let me have it. And today will be an exceptional day for you, saith the Lord. Isn't that good? Give Jesus a hand clap for that. I wouldn't mind having that myself. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Lift your hands up, young man, right there where you are. Both of them. Hello. I need you, saith the Lord. I need you desperately. You got talent that I want to use. Oh, yeah, but I'm, you know, no. Don't tell me what you are. I already know what you are. But what I look at you is in your heart. You see yourself in an image in a mirror. I see the real you. I have great work for you to do, and I'll do it quickly, and I'll open doors that no man can shut, and I'll close doors no man can open. But I sent you here today, and I had Jesse fly through that snow to let you know you are on my mind, saith the Lord. Oh, give God a hand clap for that. I wouldn't mind having that myself. Come on, you can do better than that. Give him a great God bless you. Woo! How many of you're in debt? Hold your hand up. Nothing wrong with being in debt. Hold your hand up. You're in debt. Let's pray that this stuff gets all knocked out.
Amen.
Come on. Now, you that are not in debt, lift your hand up too so we can just pray and believe God for these people. Father, I am debt free. I ask you through supernatural intervention to get these people debt free. That when I see them again, they'll say, I'm debt free, Lord. And then teach them how to work for money. Not just work for money, but to work money. Father, I thank you. I speak the book of Romans to them. Owe no man anything but the love. And I show them how to do it. That they can't do it themselves, otherwise they would have already done it. But I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Now everybody give the Lord a standing ovation for that. For these people, they deserve it. They deserve it. Yeah, I'll say one more thing, then I'll turn it over to the pastor. Say, don't never let anybody tell you what you deserve. Well, you don't deserve that. You don't. What? Out of 8 billion people, he chose you? Now, what's the odds of that, sweetheart? A gambler. What would be the odds of that? A gambler wouldn't gamble on that. That's too big of a spread, like they say. That's God. Don't let nobody say you can't. Just create your world and walk in it. Not some of the time, all the time. I probably shouldn't tell you that, but I'm leaving with it. They all worry about me. Jody and Daddy, you work so much. When Jerry Savelle went home to be with the Lord last year, I miss Jerry. I miss Peter too. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know how many phone calls I've got that says this, but Jesse, don't die. Well, I wasn't planning on it. You know? But if I do, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And Jody said, Dad, I said, Jody, don't worry about any of that. If Jesus tarry, let me make this announcement. All of you are going to die. But there's a thing called a rapture. Some people don't believe it. Stay here. I want to go out on that first load. Not that I'm afraid to die. I could care less. But I just want to go out on that first load. Jesus, that ride. I'd like to walk on all those clouds I'm going to fly out of. I go through them so many times. They're bumpy. Did you know that? That's why the wind's all stirring up in the cloud. Because the wind is holding that cloud up. And when that plane hits it, so don't be freaking out about that. That life in the cloud. But life sometimes is like clear air turbulence. You can't see it. All of a sudden, it hits. But you see, your faith has already been tested. Remember David, the bear and the lion was a test run for Goliath. And when he got to Goliath, he said, this is a no-brainer. Because Goliath didn't have a helper. He was an uncircumcised Philistine, which means he had no covenant. And the guy that told him to wear the armor was the king, and he got his job. Did he mess up? Yeah, he did. He liked women too much. He had some pretty rough things, character in him. Now, he was before, grace as we know it today and things of that nature, but that don't make it right to do what he did. But David could be real mean on his deathbed. He said, Solomon, come here, kill that sucker. He put a hit on the guy before he died. But he was a man after God's own heart. He got caught in adultery. But you didn't hear him say, you got to talk to my lawyer. He come off that platform, that throne. He said, I have sinned. I'll go back to the pasture. But it took a strong man named Nathan the prophet to look him in the eyes and say, you the man. Always speak truth. Because if Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. And if he's the liar, the devil can't kill you. So I plan on being here. I'll tell you how long I'm going to be here. Tell them I'm satisfied. There's so many rumors about me. I just heard this. I had my board meeting Thursday, and people were calling my office and said, Brother Jesse was killed in an airplane crash. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Man, I mean, the phone ringing. And my receptionist said, well, if he is, he got a guy that looked exactly like him. And I just talked to him 2 minutes ago. People just lie. They just say anything. One man said, I saw him walk on the water. That's a lie. I ain't never walked on water in my life. I've swam in water, but not on top of the water. People just, he has a whole fleet of jets. I'm believing for that. If I see something, he says something, they lie, and I like it. Oh, well, I can believe for that. Yeah. I'm so happy about you people stepping out to pay this wonderful place off. But what I'm happy about is the harvest you get from it. Oh, and if you did pledge and you drive by and somebody's in your car, you know what you say? See that church there on the lead? Yeah, I paid that off.
That's right.
What? Did you get there? Yeah, you paid it off. You know what that is? Philanthropy. Hallelujah. Thank you for allowing me to come once again. I'm into the second generation. Hallelujah. Who knows? I might be 120 when I'm coming here. I wonder how old Randy will be. Lord Jesus. Why not? I mean, you live as long as you want. Don't complicate that. Don't complicate that at all. Just let God be God. You be who you are. It's been an honor. Give Jesus a hand clap as Pastor comes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. We thank Brother Jesse for being here the 38th year this year. Praise the Lord. That was a great message, wasn't it? Hallelujah. That was so good. Create your world and live in it. You know, when I was 19 and a half, I wanted to create my world with that woman right there, Nicole. She had just turned 18 years old, and I said, you're mine, woman. And 4 days later, I married her, and we've been married 36 years this year, creating our world and living in it. Our first house that we bought, Jesse Duplantis came here, and we had only had $23.50 to our name, and we wanted a house. And it had sold already 3 times. And we said, Jesse, we're going to give an offering to you for our home that we want. He said, well, I'm going to believe with you for it. And believe it or not, the third time that it sold, there was some kind of tanks underground. And so that third buyer said, we don't want it. And the realtor called us and said, do you still want this house? And we said, yes. So we all took hands. We said, we want this house. And we sold $23.50 into Jesse Duplantis Ministries. And we bought that house for $23,400. What a miracle. It was amazing. And that was our first home. And so God has done so much since then. And we want to thank you guys as well for being here today. And just let what he said just fill your head and get into here, into your spirits. Hallelujah. Again, physically, financially, spiritually, we can create our world and we can live in it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray you guys out of here and your safety today. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the church. God, Jesse created the world, his world, and he lived in it. And because he lived in it, he came here. And because he came here, lives were changed today. Salvations happened today. People were set free and touched today. The word was brought forth today, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word that was brought forth. We thank you that it gets in deep into our spirits and good ground and starts to grow, Lord God. We thank you for everyone leaving today. God, we thank you for safety out on these roads. God, we thank you, and I plead the blood over everybody as well today. God, I thank you for blessings just to go through them, Lord God, this whole week. Everything they do, every place they touch, Lord God, will be blessed, will be prosperous. God, I thank you for leading people to us this week that we can sow to, minister to, Lord God, that some would be saved as well. We give you praise for it, and we thank you for all you've done today. And all you're going to do throughout this week, in Jesus' name, Amen. Man, we love you guys. We love you online. God bless. Have a great day today. We'll see you Wednesday night, 7 p.m.